Random thought. And I got this one from DJ Steph Floss in Cleveland. And he had tweeted, I said, question, if you blow out a tire, are you changing the tire yourself or calling roadside assistance? And I thought of you because, you know, one of the first people that responded said, if I'm fresh headed somewhere, then I need AAA. A normal day, I'm changing tire myself. That's not why I thought of you. I thought of you because of the next one. Because the next response said, I don't need to change a tire to prove I'm a man. I proved it by me being able to afford those services. Hashtag AAA all day. And I went, that's Terrell all day.
I would have to agree. That definitely sounds like something that I would say. I'm like, hey, you know, if you get to that point in life where you can afford those extra services, get someone else to do it. Why not?
Because it goes back to the conversation we had, was it last week, about moving and, like, you know, not helping friends move because, you know, no. You're old enough now, you can afford to pay somebody to come pack your shit up and take it wherever you need it to go. You don't need to grab friends to go do it. And it also reminds me of a conversation we had some years ago when you're like, hey, so do you drink brown liquor? I'm like, yeah, I drink Maker's Mark. And what did you say? We're not in college anymore. We can afford something better. Just look, shame me and my old Maker's Mark. Damn it.
I'll admit that I do like some of the finer things that if I can afford it, I want it. I think you should constantly be evolving. So that's great. If you can break out a jack and change your own tire, awesome. Good for you. Don't think it makes you any more or less manly if you use AAA. But if you have the services and you can afford it, use it. And AAA is not expensive. So it's not like you're balling because you have AAA. You know, it's only like the top certain percent can afford that. So I think if you can, great. But yes, I do think that as you get older, your taste, you should push your taste and limits and try some different stuff. If you were drinking box wine in your 20s and now you're 40, you're still drinking box wine. Well, you need to evolve.
You know, it's funny talking about the changing the tire part because it just happened to me recently. I don't know how or what. I went to the store to grab some jeans. As I'm coming back out, I hear this sound. I'm like, what the hell is that sound? And as I get, it can't be from my car. My AC can't be on. Then I get close to the car and I realize that sound of air is coming from a tire in my car. So I get home because I'm not far from home, right? And I go, okay, well, I'm going to change this, put the spare on, take it to the tire place. Broke out the jack. Gave about 3 attempts trying to move it. Like, you know what? Baby, do we have roadside assistance?
I don't blame you because like last weekend, I had to get a tire changed. And I think I had a nail in the tire. And so I had them, you know, the sensor lets you know that your tire pressure is low.
Yeah.
So the guy, I go to a little shop, he takes the tire off, shows me there's a nail in there. I was like, yeah, perfect. Let's just get that patched up. And then he does it. I get back in the car, and those guys are quick. I mean, they got the big jack, just no piece of cake, all about 10, 15 minutes. I get back in the car, and my indicator's still showing that my tire pressure's low on my front left tire. And I'm like, hey, since I'm here, can you go ahead and just check the front left one? So he takes that off, and like the inside of the tread, I mean, it was probably not too long away from just exploding on me. It was that bad. Ooh. And I was like, yeah, let's go ahead and let me buy a used tire for that one. And I thought to myself, man, if that would have happened on the toll road, what would I have done? Mm. You know, can I change it? I have a spare? Sure. When's the last time I changed a tire? It's been 20-some years since I've done it. So, I mean, like, if you do it all the time, great. But it's been 20-some years. So I'm like, I'm just going to call somebody and they'll come get this fixed.
I'm just going to tell you right now, because I'm your friend, because I used to do the same thing you're doing, and this was probably years ago, too. You know, buying the used tire for the one used tire for the car. Stop that shit. Just go ahead and either buy you 2 or 4. Go ahead and get it done and just go ahead. You make enough now. You can do that.
Well, you got to understand that my goal is February 2022. I want to buy my Audi Q5. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to put new tires on this car that I'm going to have for another 9 months.
Okay, makes sense. I got
it. There you go. That's why I bought a used tire.
I just need some tires to get me through the next 9 months. That's it.
Just get me through the next 9 months so I can upgrade to that Audi Q5 and I'll be in good shape.
I'm going to upgrade my tires, the body, the engine, and the
logo. All of it. All of it. Total upgrade.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yachty Root.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people just having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having those conversations since college.
Yes, we have. It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 34. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
Hey, so what's been going on in the life of Terrell?
You know, life of Terrell, it's been pretty busy work-wise, right? And I think it's easy to just get so buried into work. That's all you really do. And I've caught myself doing a lot of that. And so over the past couple weeks, I've been trying to make some changes, some health changes. I did this green smoothie cleanse by J.J. Smith just to kind of reset, kind of a detox and all that. So my refrigerator looks like a farmer's market with all the produce and veggies and everything I'm blending up in these smoothies. But I've been trying to be more active. I just went kayaking this morning, so I just like came back and jumped onto the computer. So trying to have a little bit more fun, get a little bit more active. And then I have my first housewarming next weekend. So I have about 9 or 10 friends that I'm inviting over to come kind of hang out. We all been vaccinated, so we get to give each other big hugs and eat some good old Texas barbecue. So that's all that's really happening in the life of Terrell. I could go into like dating stories, but I'll save that for another day.
Oh yes, these are going to be interesting. One thing I will say is make sure next time you don't leave your sleeves when you come back on the podcast. I know you did a smoothie cleanse this week. You know, sun's out, guns out, and all that.
This is coming straight off of Lake Travis, hauling butt in the car to get here because I was late to our normal start time. So I was trying to be like efficient and quick. I could say, hey, Yann, I'm going to be extra more minutes late so I could put on a pretty shirt with sleeves that you would approve of.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's yesterday I had the second dose of the vaccine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I even questioned whether the guy actually gave me the shot because I didn't feel it at all. I'm like, really? Are you done? And he's like, yeah, I got a Band-Aid. And I'm like, okay, whatever. You sit there 15 minutes, drive off, and it's fine, right? So no issues. Try to stay hydrated, you know, prior to and after. But today, I'll tell you seriously, man, whew, my head is just pounding. I think that's the effect that I've been having. Like, I get tired and my head's pounding. Same thing happened after the first shot. So, but other than that, nothing really crazy. Nothing bad. I'm not feeling any kind of way. I don't feel any extra growths anywhere. You know, I don't feel anything shrinking. So I think I'm good. I just got to make it through the day and just sleep a little bit more than I normally do. You know, every time I got up today, my wife is like, why are you out of bed? I'm like, well, I mean, and she's like, go back.
Yeah.
Just rest. Get some rest. And I'm like, so, yeah, other than that, yeah. But that's it.
Well, you took the Moderna, right? Because I've heard that on that second dose, a lot of people that had the Moderna, that's when they felt something. I did Pfizer, and I didn't feel anything on both. But luckily, it's just a headache, right? I mean, some people have gotten really sick afterwards. Exactly. And with all that you have going on, you don't really have the time or luxury to be down for the count.
Exactly. So I'm glad it's just a headache. I can deal with that. I'm glad it's a little fatigue. That's fine because it's Sunday. You know, we're recording this on Sunday. So I have time to rest today, even though I'm traveling today again. I'll have time to rest and then it's back to the grind. First thing, bright and early, tomorrow morning. And apparently you've never stopped the grind of trying to get Ted Cruz out since, of course, his trip to Mexico. What's been going on as we get into politics as usual? What's been going on with Ted Cruz this week?
Well, our good friend Ted Cruz did another open mouth insert foot this week. So during a press conference to urge President Joe Biden to reject any attempt to expand the Supreme Court, Ted Cruz said, "You didn't see Republicans when we had control of the Senate try to rig the game. You didn't see us try to pack the court." And I'm like, okay, what? And even if you don't pay a whole lot of attention to politics, it's like, we all know that's not true. Totally. Because in 2016, after Donald Trump won the election, you know, Merrick Garland, right? Merrick Garland, they blocked that because they said you called it the McConnell rule, that, you know, you can't open up a court seat or open court seat couldn't be filled in an election year. So there's that one lie. And then in 2020, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away, the Republicans, you know, obviously forgot about that rule about keeping such seats open and just rushed to confirm Amy Comey Barrett to the court. So I'm like, this dude is just full of crap, as always, and remains to be full of crap. Mm-hmm. And even though he took that little trip to Cancun that we've always said we're not upset about, you're just a constant liar. And a lot of politicians lie, but this dude just constantly does it. And so, as always, every week, we need to vote him out.
But that's why I'm not, you know, praising any of these Republicans that call him out. You know, John Boehner for saying, fuck you, Ted Cruz. That's great, but you should have been saying that all along. Because they keep towing the party lines in a sense, right? And one of the things that happened, Mitch McConnell, even though he went against Trump for the election, the difference was that he still towed that party line. And it's all about the party line. And same thing with Amy Comey Barrett is that, you know, they did the same thing that, as you just mentioned, they rushed to confirm her and went, well, if Democrats had it, they would have done this. Completely ignoring, not forgetting, because they do remember, because they did it. They completely ignored what they said when it was months away. And Merrick Garland was a conservative. He's closer to center right than he was left anyway. And it's why Barack Obama kind of picked him in that sense of, okay, get somebody who, let's go across party lines, let's create some unity. So I don't want to hear that BS from Ted Cruz, man. That's but then again, you know, I know, he's gonna lie, and politicians lie, yes, but he's gonna lie a little bit more, and he is really the scourge of the earth. And you want him out, and you've got friends who want him out, and they're going to work together. You guys are going to do a good job and trying to, you know, rally the troops. However, it's all going to be futile. You know, resistance is futile. Let's take that from Star Trek: The Next Generation. because I'm sorry, Texas is going to Texas. Texas is going to Florida. Texas is going to Flexus, and you're going to put Ted Cruz back in.
You never know. You never know, right? I'm just trying to do my part. You know, I'm paying attention to what's going on in politics. And you and I talked about that after this election. It was a very great election year. And so many people are highly engaged. Now we got to keep them engaged. And so this is my way to stay engaged here in Texas.
I love it.
Focused on Ted Cruz. And we got to talk about it every week. Happy to do that.
And I'm happy to hear you talk about it every week, because I like to hear that it doesn't stop. Let's keep that going. Because you know what? You may change one mind. Isn't that what they say when you go talk to kids? If you can change one mind.
Just one. Yes. If I can change one mind, I'll be happy about that. And I would love for someone to comment and maybe try to change my mind on why I should stop this attack on Ted Cruz and be more supportive of it. If anybody has that viewpoint, love to be able to discuss that, put it in the comments. Or if you want to join the show, then say that too. We'll have you on and let's debate it.
And I don't think it's an attack on Ted Cruz. You're just pointing out facts, so whatever.
Facts.
But
facts.
I like the way you did that to try to get them to feel comfortable enough to jump in the comments and say that. That was very good. So, of course, big news this week. And I think it was interesting to me, the lead up to this, once they said the verdict is in the Derek Chauvin case, and all of a sudden they start barricading around the city, businesses shutting down, barricading up windows, they're putting the cinder blocks down to block off streets. And of course, as they start doing that, you have the feeling of the worst, right? Thinking that things can go a different way than what we've seen. Because when people say, well, it's on video, it's obvious. So was the Rodney King beating.
Right.
That was 30 years ago, and yet, so over the last 30 years, what have we seen? Okay, so this guy goes in. He's guilty, found guilty, murder 2, murder 3, and manslaughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what was going through your mind when you found out about the verdict?
So I got the notification that, you know, that the verdict was coming, and it was going to be announced like an hour later. I'm like, okay, so this is a good way to get everybody all riled up and ready to watch.
Yep.
I went into it still thinking that he could get off. You know, it could be something like. So I was quite surprised that they got the guilty verdict. Now we just got to see what the sentencing is. And as soon as I saw the guilty verdict, I'm like, yes, of course he's guilty. I said, but now let me go check and see what my friends are saying. And so I like to go to social media and see just what some of my friends, or when I say social media friends, are are saying, or their friends are saying. So I like to look at the comments, and it just blows my mind how people were more upset because they felt it was mob justice, that they've convicted him because they didn't want all these people to be in the streets and all these riots. I'm like, but yet they still agree that what he did was wrong and he should go to jail. I'm like, that makes no sense to me. That you're like, this is only because it's mob justice and da-da-da. Just, it's just, it's annoying. But that's what tickled me most. I couldn't wait to see what my friends, and especially my friends that are white, you know, I was trying to think of a better way to say it, but just, I'll put it out there. Curious to see what my white friends that I know have different opinions about things than me. I'm not talking about the ones who are woke. I'm talking about the ones that I'm like, I'm only friends with you on Facebook just so I can keep an eye on what you're going to be doing and saying. So when you start to lose your shit, I'm already prepared for it. It's those type of white friends that I have where I'm just like, how do you think this? And how do you, I just don't get it. To me, it was justice. It's not over. I think this is a great moment, but I don't look at this as a victory. I look at this as, you know, this is a stepping stone in the right direction. And hopefully it makes some of those bad apples, you know, maybe change how they do their job.
That's not going to stop them at all. That's because the whole thing of this mob justice, which is ridiculous to me, and I hated the fact that the judge, and this is why I wasn't surprised by the verdict, because the judge kind of set this up for the rematch, right? And said in the appeal, you know, because of what Maxine Waters said, this can overturn the verdict. And I went, so he expects us to be guilty. The judge didn't want to. I feel that judge shouldn't have even been there then, and that's the case. Because the judge is really, it's crazy, because all she said was, if there's not a guilty verdict, then we need to stay in the streets. And it didn't mean stay in the streets and raid the Capitol. It meant literally we've got to keep active. But I think I think even still for her, she should have said that it, even if we do get the guilty verdict, we need to, because this needs to continue. I was watching Bill Maher Friday night, and he was like, well, this is not the first time. You know, Walter Scott went to jail. He named a couple cops that went to jail for killing black men. He's like, so this is not – and April Ryan had to just set him straight. Like, yeah, but it's a lot slower, and this is not a celebration. Because he wanted to make it sound – and Bill Maher's been an ally for a while, but I've noticed him kind of drifting a little bit further away, because as he gets older, he's feeling that whole, everybody white isn't wrong. I'm like, nobody said that. We're just calling out the ones that are wrong, because we're not saying everybody black is right either.
Right.
And I think it doesn't get better until you have the police actually stopping each other from doing this nonsense. Because I saw a video the other day of these two cops are wrestling with this woman, trying to get her handcuffed, and she starts to wiggle away, and I think she tries to kick at one point. So one guy just literally reaches out and punches her twice straight in the face and was going to do some more, and another cop jumped on him and was like, no, we're not doing that, grabbed him, threw him off of her. And I'm like, that's the kind of shit you need to see, where cops stop other cops from doing bad shit. And the thing that needs to happen is, when cops stop other cops from doing stuff, there shouldn't be repercussions. Like that woman, I want to say it was in Boston, back in 2008, I think it was. And I can't remember her name. I'll find it. But she told on some cops, or stopped them. Stop the cop from doing a chokehold on someone. She had 19 years on the force. Mm-hmm. Ended up getting fired, lost her pension. She just got it back. They just ruled in her favor that she was able to get her pension and get back pay. So, you know, the repercussions for cops telling is why they don't. There's no snitching shit. Didn't start in the hood. Let's get that clear. No snitching didn't start in the hood. It started behind that blue line.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Good job.
And to be fair, we're not anti-cop. I know a lot of great cops, and a lot of great white cops, a lot of great black cops. Also know some shitty ones. So And I know my definition of shitty when it comes to restaurant service is a little sketchy for you.
Yeah.
So I hope you understand when I say shitty cops.
I'll just assume because, yo, I don't know what your shitty service is. And so shitty cop, I don't know what that means to you, but I'll make an assumption.
Did he not wash his ass this morning? What's the problem?
Yeah. No, I agree with you on a lot of what you said, and 100% correct. I'm definitely not anti-cop. And I do think you were right that it doesn't stop until other cops stop other cops from doing this. These behaviors can't be the norm, you know, that you have to get physical with every person. There are some people out there who deserve the shit that they got. You know, I will say that there are some criminals of all races who, mm-hmm. if they got roughed up, in some cases, they deserved it. But in a lot of cases, they don't. And that shouldn't be the only first go-to is the beat them down, hurt people mindset. And you know, it'd be one thing. And here's what's funny. And this is what I think a lot of people don't realize. If it was consistent across the board where cops were just shooting everybody,
yeah,
we probably wouldn't be talking about this. It'd be like, hey, this is the norm. Don't mess up. You'll get shot. Right? But it's not. It's a certain group of people that this seems to happen to most. Now, I will say, and I agree with some of the other things I read over the week, that I think two things are true. Police are actively, not. Let me back this up. There are too many instances where police are using more force or even pulling their guns and shooting black people than it is to white people. That statement mm-hmm. is true. The other thing that's true is we got to stop letting the media get everybody riled up without all the facts. Because every time there's an issue, the first thing it's, you know, white cop did this to black person. And then, of course, everybody just jumps onto that without hearing all the facts in the case. And then once sometimes when you hear some of the facts, you're like, I get it. You know, it's rare where I had to totally agree that this person got shot. But in some cases, I'm like, yeah, I get how that happened. And like, yeah, that escalated quickly. Why'd you do this? You know, why'd you fight? It was a speeding ticket. Just take the ticket and go. You know, but why are you doing all this talking shit? And then this happened. Okay, I get it. But they shouldn't have to get that physical. So, but those two things can be true statements. And we have to stop just reacting to things that that the media says is race related when it might not be.
Yeah. And to your point, both of those things can be true, and both of those things are true. By the way, that officer's name was Carol Horn, and she was a former Buffalo police officer from a 2006 incident where she stopped mm-hmm. a chokehold. The suspect was in handcuffs and they had a chokehold, and so she felt the wrath of it because of that. Just was it a week or two ago? Now she just got her pension back and back pay. So you know. Kudos to her for standing up, risking her career for that. But at the same time, now that she gets the back pay, I'm happy for that. But that's what needs to happen more. And we've got to it's like if it's a group of friends hanging out, right? And somebody's acting the ass. Like if we go sit down at a table and there's four of us at the table and one of us is about to act the ass, either you or I is about to say, shut the fuck up because they're not spitting in my food because you're going to be the jackass. That's not going to happen. You're not going to make all of us look bad. So that's kind of what needs to happen with cops is like you need to stop making all of us look bad
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, they definitely do. And hopefully, as we always hear these comments about the good cops, more of the good cops need to speak up. I remember right after George Floyd, all these cops started putting out all these little TikTok videos where mm-hmm. they were pretty much in support of George Floyd and the cause and were all saying that was wrong. Mm-hmm. We need more of those. Not just put the video. That's great. We need to see that in action because oftentimes when you see these videos that come out, there's more than one cop on the scene. And so you don't really hear that other cop going like, dude, what the fuck are you thinking?
Exactly.
You know, put your gun down. Let me talk to the person. You know, we don't have to escalate. Yeah. We don't have to escalate that quickly. You think of that one, the black man that was, I think he was getting arrested and he tried to run. They sick the dogs on him and the dog is biting him and they're just sitting there just kind of watching. It's a group of cops that mm-hmm. are just watching this happen, knowing that it's wrong. It's like those type of things. We need more good cops to be able to speak up and stop these bad cop activities from happening, especially when you know it's getting recorded. Because what I see, it almost proves the point. When we see these video footage of multiple cops on the scene and mm-hmm. no one is saying anything, in my eyes, and the video is telling me is, All of you agree with this behavior because silence is acceptance. And so until you start to see that, we need to see more other cops going, hey, what the hell? Even in the situation with George Floyd, those other cops around could have been like, dude, get off his neck. Mm. Like, dude, he's handcuffed. He's not going to roll anywhere. What the hell are you doing? Get off his neck. They didn't. They just all stood there and watched it. So to me, every one of those cops that stood there and allowed that to happen should have blood on their hands.
They're all accessory to murder, just like anybody. If I'm in the car with you and you decide to go rob the bank, goddammit, I'm going to jail with you. They need to go to jail with him too. And let's be fair about that. And as far as those cops sticking a dog, they're just thinking, so that's what it must have felt like back in the 60s, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of feels kind of good to be the one up here watching this happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. And when I think about just the I watched Judas and the Black Messiah last night. And great movie, by the way. But it was just so interesting to see the same sentiment people had in the late 60s and 70s towards police. We still see it today.
Yeah.
Right? And you see some of the tactics that the police used, especially the FBI used to try to break up the Black Panther Party. You're like, okay, there's corruption there. There's people that do this stuff. And it hasn't stopped. And even the people, you know, hitting the streets, you know, rioting and protesting, that's not a new since George Floyd thing.
No.
Or that's been going on. So it's sad to see that even though it may look like we've come so far, really we haven't.
At all. And then, you know, here's the interesting thing. Verdict is read, and 25 minutes before the verdict is read, there's another shooting in Columbus, Ohio, police-involved shooting. Of Makai Bryant, a 16-year-old girl, and the cop gets out the car, gets to the scene, pulls his weapon, shoots her 4 times in the chest. And of course, she dies. A lot of different information on this because, then, of course, they quickly released the footage, the body cam footage. The police chief came out and spoke. Matter of fact, spoke to one of our sister stations. And so did the mayor, and they were saying there's a lot more involved in this, and the police officer saved one life by taking another.
Right.
You did a lot more diving into this than I did, and you saw some more things in this. What happened?
Yeah. So this was interesting because again, it the headline was really more race baiting, but I wanted to like dig into this before because I saw a lot of people posting the day of the verdict getting out. All of a sudden, I see you know say her name and all that. So I had to like look up like what happened, and so I started digging into the story. So Makai Bryant was living in a foster home, and I'm not sure how many other girls lived in that home, but apparently there was a group of other people that were. Some kind of confrontation. They were trying to fight. Now, I don't know the details of these other folks, but a young girl calls 911. And you listen to the 911 recording, and you hear this girl saying, these people came over, they're trying to jump us. You know, we need the police here now. And then the dispatcher's asking, well, does anybody have a weapon? Da, da, da. And you hear all this commotion in the background of the call. And she's like, we need police here now. They're trying to jump us. Da, da, da. And then the call disconnects. So you don't really get a chance to figure out who is the one that needs the help, right? And so apparently, you know, Makai Bryant went into a house to get the knife to help. From what I'm hearing from her family and the people in the foster home, she was trying to help defend these other girls by fighting these other folks. Well, cop pulls up. From his view, he just sees this black girl with a knife, you know, going after these people. So I can see in that instance, how does he know what's going on, right? Now, did he have to shoot somebody 4 times? No. But how did he really know? But it happened so quick. And so I was conflicted. I'm still conflicted on that one because I think as for someone in law enforcement, you know there's a problem. You pull up. You don't really know who is the target. All you see is this girl going at somebody with a knife. And so in his mind, he shoots to save a life. To shoot 4 times with a knife and you got a gun, I think that's excessive. I don't understand why we can't sweep the leg, you know, shoot him in the hip. Why do we got to go four chest shots to kill somebody? Why not shoot him in the leg,
too.
Take him down? Yeah. And so like, you know, he could easily do that. And so those are the issues I have with this case. But I don't look at this as one of similar to some of the ones that we have seen in the past. I don't put it in that category. I do think there's some better things that law enforcement could have did, but you know, someone has a knife, you have a gun, there's no threat to you, but now there's a threat to another person. You're trying to save that life. I kind of understand that, but there's still some things that are iffy. And to be honest, here's the deal. There's not going to be one police shooting that we at all would agree with. Going to be a police shooting that we'd be like, you know what? I agree with that 100%. Every step he did, I agree. We'd always would pick it apart, or as we say in football, play, you know, Sunday morning quarterback or Monday morning quarterback. But, I see this one a little bit different.
Here's the thing on this one I have with it. One, he was obviously a trained marksman, not because we just heard about that, because they were literally right next to each other, and he shot and hit her only. He didn't hit. He didn't hit the other girl because the other girl ran off, right? As in terror, of course, because somebody's shooting. And I'll be damned, you shot the person that's standing right next to me. The other thing is, though, does he not have a taser? Because a knife and a taser, you can still take that person down with a taser. I've watched one person take down 3 to 4 people with one taser. It's Zagap, Zagap, Zagap. And you're like, all of a sudden, all of them falling like, hey. You know, and it's doable. It's deadly force necessary, and I get it. Saving the life, but saving the life doesn't always mean killing the next person. And the reason,
right.
Here's the reason why, because she had a knife, okay? You had a, if I remember this correctly, there was a guy that had an AR-15 inside a house shooting at cops. They took him alive. And only, I mean, now, granted, they did shoot him, but they shot him in the butt.
Yeah.
But he walked out alive. Now, and this is the part that I'm having the issue with, and why I keep bringing this up, is the simple fact of, and for those who will say, well, you know, they do shoot white people too. Yes, but this one was shot in the butt.
Right.
He had an AR-15. That's a semi-automatic assault weapon, as opposed to a knife. And I get it. She was right there swinging, ready to stab somebody with it. If you hit her with a taser, guess what would have happened? That knife would have dropped immediately. She would have dropped immediately, because the taser is not something people take very kindly to. But you know what they do? They live.
Yeah.
So there's some people going to say there's no way that there's no justification of a cop shooting a 16-year-old girl, right? At the same time, if you're the parent or you're the sibling or you're the friend of the other person, do you say, well, he saved their life? You know, so there's so many different ways in this. But something I have a question about, when I saw this video, and I only watched it once, it's moving in slow motion, as he gets out of the car. And of course, his first thing is to stop this person from stabbing somebody else. So I get that. So I'm with you on that. But off to the right, there's a girl that was thrown on the ground, and there's a man that kicks her in the head. And I'm like, okay, so what happened to him after? Because in all honesty, that was a strong kick that he, that wasn't just a, no. I mean, that was full extension of the leg. And I just wondered what happened there. And I know there's still more stories to come out. That's why I've been very, you know, cautious in what I say about this entire situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know that people, there are people in Columbus, and we're not talking just white people and black people. We're talking black people who are on both sides of this. They have some people who are going justified in shooting her. They had to because they saved a life. Because that's the argument coming from the other side, which is, well, if Black Lives Matter, didn't he save a black life?
Well, I here's how I'm looking at it, and I think this is where I try to steer the conversation. What I can say is, in that moment, you know, could I understand possibly why this cop shot this person? Yes. And it doesn't stop there. I think the question should, the things we should be asking ourselves is say, is this the best way that he had to resolve that? As you point out, he could use a taser. He could have done this. You know, is it the best? If that's the only like best solution, great. Because I read someone else that said, well, she was a pretty big girl, so what if the taser didn't work? Okay, that's not the point. The point is,
what
is
if? There, did you really say what if?
Yeah. I said the point is these situations that happen with people of color, is this the best solution in that moment? And that's where the dialogue has to be. It doesn't mean that you think, I'm not looking at these to always say that cops are wrong or to see like, see, black people messed up. They should have got shot. I'm not doing that. What I'm trying to do is to say, okay, is this the best outcome that could have happened? Is there any other way that this could have de-escalated or any other training that could have happened? In some cases, it might not be, and that's fine. But in this sense, there was a whole lot going on. I agree with you. Could you have tased them? Yes. If you want to use your gun, could you have shot them in the leg? Like, you know, you shot this person in the butt with the AR-15. Why can't you just shoot that person? It's got to stop them, right? Like, why don't we do that instead of always shooting to kill? The other issue I have with this story is those people that were going after these girls, you know, I hope they rot in hell as well. Because whatever stupid thing that created this fight escalated to a 16-year-old getting shot over bullshit, right? And so that's, and I know it is, I don't know the ages of the people that were in the altercation with the girl, you know, but in these different stories where you hear about 15, 16-year-olds that, you know, it escalates, you know, in death, you're like, okay, that's just young people being super stupid. But still, these people also have blood on their hands that they went confronting a girl. And if there was a guy that, you know, kicks them, it was males and females confronting a 16-year-old girl and other little girls over what, you know, that's the ridiculous part of this whole thing. But I think they need to have some accountability in this shit too.
Yeah. And we got to stop this gang mentality in all honesty as well, because that's just that jumping mentality has been going on since we were in high school and before then. So it's crazy. All right, hey, ladies and gentlemen. So at this point, we've started to have some technical difficulties. And because we started the show late today, definitely had to get on the road. So this is where we end on a short show this week. But we definitely wanted to get something out for you. And we'll be back next week with a full episode, more fun topics, hopefully a lot lighter than it was this week. Don't forget, follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, at RGRT Pod. Be sure to like, subscribe, and comment. Leave a comment, leave a review. Let us know how you feel. Let us know how you like the show. And thank you for checking out Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.